Hey, I'm John.
And I'm Becky.
And this is the We Are For Good podcast.
Nonprofits are faced with more challenges to accomplish their missions and the growing pressure to do more, raise more, and be more for the causes that improve our world.
We're here to learn with you from some of the best in the industry, bringing the most innovative ideas, inspirational stories, all to create an impact uprising.
So welcome to the good community. We're nonprofit professionals, philanthropists, world changers, and rabid fans who are striving to bring a little more goodness into the world.
So let's get started. Becky, oh my gosh, can you continue?
Grinning ear to ear. Oh yeah, really excited.
I mean, we love annual giving, but to get to talk about annual giving with such an epic organization, with such epic people, I mean, I really can't contain my excitement.
Totally. I mean, we have the Michael J. Fox Foundation on today, and we're going to be talking about social media fundraising through that lens of annual giving. But can we just geek out for a second? Because I'm a Gen X baby, grew up watching Family Ties, and I just remember the Michael J. Fox Foundation coming out. I remember being educated about Parkinson's at a really early age because I really loved the person that Michael J. Fox seemed to be. And I want to give our listeners just a little bit of background because this incredible foundation is dedicated to finding a cure for Parkinson's disease through this aggressively funded research agenda. Love that you said aggressively funded research. And two, ensuring the development of improved therapies for those living with Parkinson's today. And I'm sure we have so many listeners, me being one of them, who has had Parkinson's in our family and understand what a devastating diagnosis it can be. And just so excited to have a rich conversation about that today.
I know. And so like to have such a poignant mission, but to have the team members that are actually driving the annual giving strategy here in the house today, they're bringing this playbook for how they're showing up in the moment, how they're raising money on social media. And y'all, I feel like they've cracked the case on social media fundraising. So I can't wait to like tap their brains. So we have to get into introductions. So I'm going to introduce Becca Lockhart. She leads the annual giving program at Michael J. Fox Foundation. She has been focused on expanding their donor program, which means focusing on those who give to the foundation and integrating campaigns that retain, upgrade, and convert donors. Becca is a proud Hoosier. She's graduated from Indiana University Bloomington and their nonprofit management and fundraising development program. Hello, look at those credentials. And when she's not working, you can find her cooking, gardening, making jewelry. So crafty. I'm loving this. Or spending time with her husband, Dane, and their three kids, Zeke, Beau, and Quinn, saying hi to all the kids over there.
Besides Becca, we have got the incredible Ty Hyacinth. Ty is the Officer of Annual Giving at the Michael J. Fox Foundation, and they oversee the Facebook fundraiser program. So buckle up because you're going to hear so much about how incredible that is. And they are also working as donor stewardship and the third-party program at MJFF. Ty's expanded the Facebook fundraiser program in the 2 years since they joined MJFF, and they continue to just find ways to include those fundraisers and other opportunities across the organization, which we talk about all the time. We just don't want one person hanging in the singular. We want them integrating everywhere. They work remotely from Queens, New York, with the occasional trip to the office in Manhattan. And we cannot talk about Ty without talking about their incredible dog, Ciabatta. She is as cute as she sounds. I love the name as an Italian. So Becca, Ty, we are so excited you're here and we cannot wait to talk about this today. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, John and Becky. Thank you so much for having us. This is Becca, and we are just thrilled to be here. It is quite an honor as a longtime listener. I love the We Are For Good podcast. Listen to you weekly. Tune in to all the conferences that you participate in as well. So just really honored to be here.
And this is Ty. Thank you so much for having us. I have been over the moon since getting this opportunity and just really excited to share with y'all today.
I mean, we want to kick it to y'all to just start the conversation. Give us a little bit of an overview, just kind of like, you know, high level, what is the Michael J. Fox Foundation? Talk about what it does and like a little bit of the history and the work that you're doing today. Catch us up to speed.
Thank you for that, John. We are thrilled to be a part of the Michael J. Fox Foundation. So getting to share it with you both and your listeners is quite extraordinary. The Michael J. Fox Foundation, Becky, you alluded to it, was started in the year 2000 when our founder and namesake, Michael J. Fox, really came public with his diagnosis and decided to do something about it. We are the largest nonprofit funder of Parkinson's disease research. And because of our incredible community and generous donors, what that means is it translates to over $2 billion being funded globally since our founding year in 2000. Yeah, I know. The B, billion.
The B.
It's an incredible, it's an incredible amount. Our community has been so generous. We were founded with people living with Parkinson's in mind. The families and community that make up this work is so incredibly important to us. Ty, I know you're going to speak a little bit more about Parkinson's itself.
Yeah, so not sure how many listeners know, but Parkinson's disease is the second most common degenerative brain disease in us, only second to Alzheimer's. Michael says this quite often, but if you know one person with Parkinson's, you know one single person with Parkinson's, because the disease and its symptoms are so different, whether it's tremors or autonomic dysfunction, mood changes, and so much more. It is very different person to person, and that's why everyone experiences Parkinson's differently, and we are out here to treat and cure every single part of this disease.
I'm just so stinking proud of you. One, thank you for coming in here and raising awareness about this disease. And I think even if you don't know someone, we need to lean into this. And the thing that I value so much about your foundation is you say you're existing for one reason. And I love how succinct it is: to speed breakthrough patients can feel in their everyday lives. It's so singular. It's something I think we can all get on board with. Just love your foundation. Got to give a shout out to my friend Holly that works also at your foundation. But I want to transition into how we're engaging and activating community on social medias. One of the core trends we're double clicking on this year is how to activate the one to grow the movement. And you have done this so beautifully. And we'd love to just hear about your approach to social media fundraising and how you're creating that personal experience for all the different unique donors that are in your organization. Becca, Ty, which one do you want to start?
I'll go ahead and start. I absolutely love talking about our social media program. MJFF really shifted to a primary focus on Facebook fundraising in about 2018 after the tools had gone through their first iterations and a couple of changes within the Facebook world. And we saw a good activation. We saw people engaged and ready to fundraise, whether it was a birthday or memorial. And seeing that potential, we took the opportunity to partner with a wonderful company called Good United. I know that you just had Nick Black on recently. So we partnered with them in 2020, and Good United is an incredible technology company that works right with Facebook and all of their tools to elevate the fundraising experience, which is exactly what we wanted to give to folks. And in 2022, Good United came to us and said, hey, we have this challenge opportunity where we can do activity-based month-long challenges for your community, whatever kind of challenge you want. Do you want to go for it? And we said, absolutely. We are so ready to test that with our audience. And it skyrocketed. It did an incredible job. And thanks to Good United, we have seen over 2,000% revenue increase in our social media program line. So, yes, from partnering with them to today, we have seen a 2,000+% increase, which is truly incredible. And 2024 is just another phenomenal year ahead. We are amplifying the strengths of our six challenges this year. And we are also just excited to start stewarding these donors more into our already integrated community.
Oh my gosh. I mean, what a case study. And we're going to get into the campaigns, but there's something I love about like this medium that we can just have a conversation. We don't have to just see this on social media at a different organization and think, man, I wish we had a campaign like that. I wish, you know, that we could garner that kind of support. I want to ask you about your mindsets. Like, talk to us about really how you personally view community building in today's age and how you think that lays the groundwork to see this kind of success through your initiatives. Is it you, Becca?
Sure. So my personal mindset for community building is really to be authentic. We say it all the time in fundraising that personal touch really matters. When you call someone by their first name, when you reference how they've been supporting you in the past, and then when you as a staff member are willing to put your name out there and speak to folks with an authentic voice and in a conversational tone where it allows you to have that relationship even when it's on screen or through a medium like Facebook. And we've seen that really be a successful part of our social media fundraising on Facebook specifically. Through Good United's platform and their partnership, we're able to message constituents through Facebook Messenger to have a conversation with them, to understand why they're getting involved. We've worked with Good United to have that conversational voice in our posts, in the way that we're interacting and encouraging people through their Facebook fundraising efforts. And then Ty and I, we have put ourselves out there as well. We've posted in the groups, we've participated, we've signed our comments as staff members from the Michael J. Fox Foundation, and people have really resonated with that. We're not just robots. We're real people, and we're so grateful. People are raising thousands of dollars. They're running 50 miles. They're walking their dog. They're doing yoga every day. Just incredible activities on behalf of the Michael J. Fox Foundation and asking their network of friends and family to support us. It's so incredible. So when we can thank them and have a conversation with these folks one-to-one or even one-to-many, it's been really beneficial and fruitful for our efforts of connecting with these constituents and bringing them back and bringing them into the community of the Michael J. Fox Foundation as a whole.
Okay, there's so much there I want to talk about. I mean, because there's so many words that you said that I want to lift up, because, and they're words that we say on this podcast all the time, authenticity, like personalization, meeting people where they are. One, I think this is the era. I'm seeing it, that nonprofit staff, we need to come out of the shadows. I feel like we always were taught, there was a culture of just sit back at the gala, you know, unless you're engaging, or sit back online. And this era of being human and understanding who to trust and what's real. Becca is a human being. Ty is a human being. You know, your donors on the other end. And I also want to lift that you all are stoking. And if you've missed that as a fourth pillar of what we call the impact arc at We Are For Good, I think it is the most missed thing that people do in nonprofit. They do the research, they build a beautiful campaign, and then they launch. But the stoking piece is what you all are doing, and stoking is engaging. And you are being a human one-to-one. You are seeing people. And guess what? When people feel seen, they feel a sense of belonging, they keep coming back. And that is literally how movements are built. So I'm so proud of you guys. But it's like, we got to talk about how it's actually translating. Like, what are you building behind the scenes? Are there specific types of content or campaigns that have proven to be really effective to capture and maintain the attention of your audience on social media? What are you guys doing there?
Well, Ty, if I could jump in and respond to Becky here really quick, because there's two things that I think of as a follow-up to what you just said, Becky. The first is coming as staff member, coming out from behind the scenes. I do think in annual giving, specifically as a function within the larger fundraising shop, annual giving is a little bit more behind the scenes. But what we're finding and what we're trying to apply to our messaging to our donors is what we know works in major gifts, which is people give to people. How do we do that better within annual giving, where it's a little harder? We can't sit down and have lunch across the table with every one of our donors, but how do we make them feel seen in the same way? How do we do what we can through the mass market channels, through the high volume touch points? We have to find a way to bring our authentic selves like we would at a lunch table across from a donor. So that's first. But then second, what Ty and I realized in 2023 is that we had to bring that mindset of how we're treating our annual giving donors to our Facebook constituents, because we realized they were a little bit of an ancillary part of our constituent base. They weren't coming through the front door. I've heard you all use that analogy before as well, but they weren't traditional annual giving donors, not giving on our website directly or sending us a check. So they were missing a bit of our communications that is a regular drumbeat for our traditional donors through our regular marketing channels, our emails, our direct mail. And so we were applying our annual giving hat to our Facebook constituents. How do we build a cycle of stewardship, reporting back on impact, creating that personal touch with folks who are coming through, not just the back door or the side door, but, you know, through the chimney? It's such an outside element to our normal communication route that we had to figure out a way to bring that community into the fold a little bit and report back to them how they're generosity and the impact of what they're doing is contributing to our overall mission.
My dimples are out.
Do you just feel us beaming at y'all?
But I know, Ty, you have some great examples of how we're keeping attention of these folks. So you know, once we get them, that's the methodology that we're using. But Ty, tell us about how we're attracting folks and keeping them engaged.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we are making sure that our challenges are, you know, activity-based and fun to do, but we're also listening to our community and what they want to see from us. We heard people say, hey, you know, running 50 miles in a month is very hard for someone with Parkinson's, but yoga is something I've been doing with my physical therapist. I'd love to see a yoga challenge. What did we do once we heard that? We made a yoga challenge. We made it happen. And we saw such wonderful community engagement, such wonderful participation from people across the country that were just so happy to be a part of something that they not only could do, but something that we as MJFF heard and responded to immediately with something actionable. And we're doing that all the time. We're finding new challenges, new ways to get people in the door participating. You know, we have lovely ads that go out for all of these challenges that are truly engaging. We're doing things that aren't so activity-based, like a baking challenge. We're doing reading challenges coming up. We are finding more and more ways to engage the community, just listening to what they have to say to us. Because really, it's not just about what they can do for us, but what we can do for them.
Okay. Totally geeked out.
I'm just like, we're starting a fan club right over here about y'all, the way y'all think, the way you show up in the world, the way you're applying what I think we talk about on the podcast so much, but like you're doing it in practice. Can I just ask you real quick, y'all have had an evolution to this moment. What did it look like in the beginning? Because I think a lot of people who are listening are going to be like,
that's a great
man,
question.
I wanted to get there. What was those? What did it start with? Because now you got so much happening. Take me back for a second.
I will happily start with what the beginning looked like. It looked like hard work. I'm not gonna sugarcoat that. It looked like, it looked like really trying to reach a community that we didn't even really know was there. Like we had an inkling and we could see it, but it was finding the right way to ask them questions to get them involved. It was finding the right things to say that got them engaged. Because as Becca alluded to, they are not coming through our front door. So they might not appreciate our normal style of communication. So we had to find ways to communicate with them, which is why we've used Messenger. It's why we've used that platform of Facebook to give them messages. You know, I think one of the biggest things we did in 2023 was we put out a giant report at the end of the year that's called our year in review. And it's everything that we've done in research in that year. And it's our biggest publication. And we realized we're not getting this to our Facebook constituents. They might not be on our email list. They might not be seeing this. So what did we do with the help of Good United? Yes, always going to shout out Good United. We sent a message blast to them through Messenger saying, oh my gosh, thank you so much for fundraising for us this year. Here is our year in review. And here is how you helped us achieve all of these incredible things. So it looked like hard work of us finding the right materials to send to them. But once we got into that groove of finding what we wanted to say and how we wanted to say it, it has been just a smooth and transparent journey.
Thanks for talking about that, because I think that there are so many people right now who are working in social impact. They're working in nonprofit. They're working in something to get change, to get these movements going. And you said a couple things that I want to make sure that we lift, that no one misses, which is, one, you found your digital voice. We talk about this all the time. We have a ridiculous document. How long is our voice style guide, John?
It's like, it's a Google Doc, so it just keeps growing. Yeah.
Yes, about the way that we talk, and we change it up because you have to iterate, because if you're listening, then you're meeting the needs of the community. And I think that you're talking about putting in the work to listen and translate. And I got to tell you, John, are you feeling like all the imposter syndrome about our Facebook presence now? Like it's so pathetic and sad because we hang out mostly on other platforms. But I do think that this is definitely a platform that has organic impact movement. And I want to talk about how you unlocked these strategies and these tactics with your social media, fundraising, and engagement with your community. It feels like you cracked the nut. So where do you want to start with that, Becca?
Sure. I listened to your podcast with Nick Black recently, and he mentions that 70% of Americans people in the US have a Facebook account. And on average, people are spending about 30 minutes a day. So I'm taking those stats from Nick, but you know, how we approached it is that this is a place where people are already hanging out. And what can we do to ensure that people who are interested in Parkinson's research, interested in advocating for Parkinson's, know the Michael J. Fox Foundation, that we are available, accessible to them, and that we have a way that they can participate on a platform that they are already interested in hanging out on. So what we've been able to do is really have a safe space for people. Through the challenges that Ty has been talking about, there's a fabulous community that's built. There's a Facebook group that you can join when you sign up for the challenge. And on this group, there's encouraging messages that the Michael J. Fox Foundation account posts. But what's even better is the posts that the group members put out there. Yeah, they share awesome. Their why. They put pictures of the people in their family who have had Parkinson's or are, you know, having it right now and dealing with that. Last month, we did a challenge for folks to run 75 miles in the month of February. And there was a woman who every single day, she was posting her run route and the mileage that she was able to accomplish. But within her route itself, there was different icons or words that she was spelling out on her journey to show her awareness and advocacy for Parkinson's. There's one I recall where she did an outline of a hand to indicate tremors that you feel in your hand when you are a person with Parkinson's. And I don't know, Ty, she did maybe 20 different designs and posted them after her runs. So I'm just telling you, the community that's built within these challenges, it's not just about the funds being raised, but it's about people encouraging one another, sharing their experiences, and lifting one another up as they are, you know, dealing with their own journey with this disease as well, no matter how they are connected to it. So that has been a fabulous way that we've engaged our social community and really brought Parkinson's theme to not only raising money, but to the community itself.
That's when you know your movement is working. When the voices of the community take over the storyline because they're so passionate about what's happening there. And the diversity of voices are going to help expand the community because more people will see themselves in other people's stories. I want to applaud you for not making your voice be the dominant one, but allowing community to come in and embracing that cognitive diversity that is just going to be not the 1:1 = 2, it's going to be the 1:1 = 10. Bravo, guys.
I mean, I love that reflection because I heard it from the earliest intro, the things that you were sharing back at the top of that. It's been a community that funded this. Like, I think you actually culturally have to believe that community is the answer and that we're building with, not for community. And it just exudes through y'all's strategy and how you show up and talk. And I'm just loving this conversation so much. So as we think about like activation, there's a lot of people listening today that maybe you're discovering y'all's organization for the first time, or they just want to get more involved. What upcoming campaigns are on the horizon? How can people like get involved today? Like what's running out there? Tell us all the things.
We're so excited to be here today because we are in the midst of gearing up for April. April is Parkinson's Awareness Month. So it's a big deal at the Michael J. Fox Foundation. It is a time where we really do showcase our community. We talk about our patient council advocacy. We talk about the work that we're doing just for advocacy and awareness in general. But it's also a time that we ask our donors that if it is fit for them to give, we have a day of giving on April 11th, also known as World Parkinson's Day. So we are really thrilled about Parkinson's Awareness Month, and we would encourage anyone to come and join us at michaeljfox.org/PAM, P-A-M.
And to anyone that is on Facebook, we have two Facebook challenges coming up. One is a 30-mile dog walk. So take your dog out on a lovely walk, raise awareness for Parkinson's, share your pictures. It is a beautiful group to join. And the other is a weekly baking challenge. There will be a new theme to every week for the month of April, whether it's a bread, a cookie, a gluten-free option if that's your jam. But, you know, come one, come all and join these groups, share your photos, share your stories. It's really just, again, a great place to find a community.
I mean, we love to celebrate the power of story here. You all know this. You know, you've listened to the podcast, and it's just so sweet, the things that you've said to reflect how often you listen. But we want to know your stories. And we want to know about a story of philanthropy that has stayed with you. Maybe it's the Michael J. Fox Foundation. Maybe it's somewhere else in your childhood. And I'm going to start with you, Becca. What's a story that really changed you of generosity?
Sure. I think for me, like many of the guests that you have on, it was my upbringing. Having parents and a family that really dedicated their time to social service. There was a few times I remember watching my mom go to a shelter nearby to help distribute food or to spend the night to help folks who needed it and give assistance. And I joined her when I was old enough for many times and was really inspired by that work and did a few fundraisers myself in high school as a part of student council and was really attracted to this social service. I know. And so I guess it has always been a part of me, this knack for fundraising and to think about how do we collectively inspire generosity from our high school peers all the way up to here at the Michael J. Fox Foundation, being able to spread the awareness for Parkinson's research. So for me, it's been since childhood that I've looked at my mentors and the people in my life as inspiration for giving back.
Thanks for sharing. Amazing. Love that. Ty, what about you?
So my first full-time job was at a similar to child protection agency that focused on giving therapy to kids that had been through traumatic experiences. And when I would leave for the day at 5 o'clock was when most of our kids were coming for their sessions. And there was a little girl there that looked like me, that sounded like me. And it took a while for her to get used to seeing me and eventually saying hi and us having quick conversations to very long conversations before she'd have to go. And on my last day there, I was so thankful to see her before I left and, you know, be able to say a proper goodbye. And the last thing she said to me before I left was, "I'm going to be like you when I grow up."
Oh, Ty.
And I almost broke into tears in front of her, tried to hold myself together as best as possible. And I told her, "You are going to be fantastic." And just to see a child that clearly is here for something that happened to them, but be able to show them hope that someone that looks like them can work in a field like that and do amazing work like that, it gives me hope every day for everyone that I work for. It reminds me of why we do the work that we do, no matter what work it is.
Amazing. And it never ceases to amaze me that this question is never about a major gift that anyone got. I mean, it's not. It's about the humanity.
Yeah. I mean, thank you for taking us back. I feel like it all points to like community, why it's so important to show up authentically so we can create these ripples. I mean, it's like the conversation's like bookended on both ends of that. And you know, we can't have epic people in our house without asking you for your one good thing. It could be a secret to your success, a good habit that you channel, maybe a mantra. Ty, I'll start with you on this one. What's your one good thing?
Sure. I have two because one is silly and one is serious.
Amazing. Go for it.
The first is the silly one, and that is eat your chicken nuggets, have a slice of ice cream cake. You're never too old to like enjoy those childlike wonders. Just go for it. Do it. It keeps you young and youthful, and that's important. And the serious one, and I can't take credit for the saying, but one of my favorite music artists, Jesse Reyes, said, "Fail faster." And you can't know what you're good at until you try at what you're bad at. You can't know how good you're going to be if you keep sticking to what you're just doing and gets you by. So fail faster, figure it out faster, because you're going to succeed faster.
The food and the inspiration bookended. You're speaking to my Italian heart. Mancha, mancha.
So
okay, Becca, what about you?
Today.
I know. I took Ty's advice seriously and did have a piece of birthday ice cream cake last night. So thank you for the affirmation, Ty. Yeah, I appreciate that. That was my one good
little joys.
In my home, we have some artwork on the wall and it says, "Be somebody who makes everybody feel like somebody." And for me, that is just something that, of course, I bought it right when I saw it because it really spoke to me. And it's who I try to be. And lately, what that looks like for me is making sure that I reach out to my colleagues one-to-one that I encourage them on chat or face-to-face. And then in my personal life, what that looks like is I've been putting my phone down when I am in the presence of people, making sure that I am present and hearing people and experiencing who they are and what they're saying without any type of distraction. So I'm leaving my phone in the kitchen, I'm being in the living room, I'm being outside with my family and those around me. And to me, that is how I'm showing up to make sure that people know that they are somebody to me and somebody who is valuable and worth my attention.
I mean, this to me is why your community is so successful, because of what you two just said and the humanity and the realness and the authenticity, all the words that you just said, you exhibited in your One Good Things. And I just think when we bring that joy, that hope into our work, it's a magnet right now. I mean, in a cynical world, we are just reaching for joy. And we keep saying joy is a vibe, and it is, and it's trending. So I'm just so happy that you wonderful humans are on the front line of this mission, making it real and making it repeatable, making it ripple to other people. So tell people how they can connect with you. How can they connect with Michael J. Fox Foundation? Where do you guys hang out on social? And just one more time, drop the PAM link, because we want people jumping in on Parkinson's, World Parkinson's Day. Ty, I'll start with you.
Sure. You can find me on LinkedIn. So it's just Tyler Hyacinth. If you search me up on LinkedIn, I'm happy to connect with any and everyone. Please ask me questions. I love talking about this work and what we've done on social. For our two challenges, you can go to michaeljfox.org/dogwalk and /baking to get to our challenges and become fundraisers.
And you can find me, Becca Lockhart, on LinkedIn as well. Please search me up. Come find us. And you can get started with the Michael J. Fox Foundation at michaeljfox.org/PAM. We are also on Facebook and Instagram mostly. So come hang out and find us and connect with us.
If nothing else, go follow them and see what the heck the experience is like. Watch your donor journey.
Find community.
I think that is a great tip, right? Amazing. I mean, I just think you guys tell the story well. Thank you for it.
Yeah. So grateful for this time and for you sharing kind of behind the scenes. Y'all are epic humans.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate
Thank you.
Being here.
Thanks so much for being here, friends. And you probably hear it in our voices, but we love connecting you with the most innovative people to help you achieve more for your mission than ever before.
We'd love for you to come join our good community. It's free, and you can think of it as the after party to each podcast episode. Sign up today at weareforgood.com/hello.
And one more thing, if you love what you heard today, would you mind leaving us a podcast rating and review? It means the world to us, and your support helps more people find this community. Thanks so much, friends. Can't wait to our next conversation. Rabbit fans have always powered the We Are For Good podcast, but now Rabbit fans can get even more goodness and access by joining Good Friends. It's our listener support community for the We Are For Good podcast.
Good Friends comes with perks, exclusive episodes with John and I, including the Good Brief, our new monthly cliff notes of the greatest takeaways and lessons learned from that month, and exclusive AMA episodes where we answer your burning questions and tap our community of experts. Join now or learn more at weareforgood.com/friends.
We can't wait to see you inside. That's weareforgood.com/friends.